1 John 2:18. Little children, it is to the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. If it was the last time when 1 John was written, then where are we now? There's a lot of speculation about that, but what we know is that we're in the last time. We're in the last time, likely. And there are also now, as he said then, many antichrists. The prophecy that Antichrist would come, many say that that's a single person. Many say it's not. John said it's not. So, what are you saying? You know, many say that it's like a single person that's going to rise up in power. That's very dramatic and all, but it's not scriptural. There are many antichrists now. And these were perceived to be antichrists by the apostle long after Christ had left this earth. And so, in other words, we don't need a divine revelation in the strict sense of a divine revelation to identify an antichrist. We need perception given us by God. It's not natural to us. We're easily deceived by nature now. We do need perception from God. But we know them, he said, by his grace, by his giving us some perception of that, some discretion, some understanding of that. We know them by their words. We know them by their fruits, by what they produce. And Satan, he knows what he's doing in this, doesn't he? Satan's a fool in many regards, but this is what he's best at. In the garden, what he was offering there was an antichrist message. He's been doing this a long time. It was free will, wasn't it? It was, I know God said this, but you can make up your own mind about it. You can decide if you want to eat this, you know. Just exercise your free will. It was a free will antichrist lie that was instrumental in our original fall. So Satan's been at this a long time. It was a decision that needed to be made. And it still is. In the gospel, there's not a whole lot of deciding on our part. The gospel is about what God decided to do. But this antichrist thing, it has to do with a decision. It has to do with free will. If you ever hear a preacher preaching a gospel that hinges upon a decision that you make, you just heard an antichrist, false gospel preacher. Nothing hinges upon our decision. It never has and it never will. Nothing good, let me just put it that way. Satan, you see, he has a flavor for everybody too. Here's the thing, it's one, antichrist is just what it sounds like. It's anything that's not Christ. And that's revealing right there, isn't it? What is a false message? Well, it's antichrist. That says a lot, doesn't it? If it's against Christ, if it's contrary to Christ, if you remove from the all-inclusiveness that's in Christ, you're antichrist. It's everything else. There are different flavors of it, though, aren't there? Satan has a false gospel for the emotional. You got one for the sentimental. You got one for the ritualistic. You know, if you want to count beads and go to confession and, you know, have all your little religious ducks in a row, he got something for you, doesn't he? If you want to dance, some people just want to dance and see a magic show. He got one of those for you. He got a bunch of that for you. But here's what I want to warn us about, too. If you're a Calvinist, he got something for you, too. If you're a doctrinal thinker, if you're a fundamentalist, when your doctrine becomes a law, and you begin to trust your adherence to doctrine, no matter how sound the doctrine is, and Satan has accomplished what he accomplishes with all of these Antichrist brands. He has caused you to trust in yourself and not in Christ. And do you think he really cares whether or not you're trusting in your rituals or in your knowledge? He doesn't care as long as it's anti-Christ. If it's not Christ, then it's Satan. It doesn't matter. Your knowledge now, without the love of God, Paul said. And by the way, do you remember what last week's lesson was about? It had quite a bit to do with love, didn't it? Love. Same context here, 1 John chapter 2. Your knowledge without the love of God is just going to puff you up. And that is Satan, isn't it? Pride, puffed up. I know what God said, but I got a little scoop for you here. I know something that God didn't tell you. If you understand all mysteries, Paul said, and have all knowledge, and have not love, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. Oh yeah, there are many, many antichrists. It's one message in a sense. It's everything but Christ. Anything but Christ. But there are many of them, aren't there? There are many of them. Whatever it is you like. And we like all kinds of things other than Christ by nature. Fundamentally, they're all preaching now the same free will message. It's the same man-centered message. It's always going to have to do with trusting yourself. It's works or grace. But there is an antichrist for every personality type. Satan is very thorough. If you don't care about doctrine at all, you may not give a hoot about doctrine at all. We don't want to hear doctrine. We just want to be uplifted, you know. That's exactly what Joel Osteen, I heard him say at one time. People, they don't want to hear doctrine. They just want to be encouraged, uplifted. If that's you, Satan has a Joel Osteen for you. And many like him. Many like him. If you want a spectacle, a lot of drama and emotion, but no substance, there's a Kenneth Copeland for you, or somebody just like him. If you're a little more old-fashioned now, a little more fundamental, if some doctrine's important to you, some doctrine, well, there's probably a Graham for you, somebody like that. And if you're a strict Calvinist, I got some names for you there too. And Calvinism, by the way, is becoming more and more fashionable. But Christ is not. Christ is not becoming more popular. The gospel is not getting more popular. Here's what I'm saying. There are many antichrists. Many. There's just one Christ. There's one truth. One gospel. Verse 19, they went out from us. And what a warning this is. Is this sobering to you? They went out from us. They were one of us. If they did, what about us? You remember when the Lord said to his disciples, one of you shall betray me. And you remember they all began to ask, Lord, is it I? The Lord had taught them enough that they knew. The minute we start thinking it's not me, guess who it is? Because the one that it's not doesn't think like that. By God's grace. Is it I? Verse 20, but ye. You see those words, isn't that beautiful? But ye. But you now. You're not saying but some, but you. He could say that with confidence. But you. And here's why. He didn't say, but you are smarter than them. He didn't say, but you are better than them, but you are more spiritual than them. No, but you have something from God that makes you different. You see that? You have something from God. There's the difference. It's His grace. He has decided to bestow upon you an anointing. That's what the word is there. And notice a couple of things about this. The obvious, it comes from Him. It comes from God. Not you, not your nature, not your heart. It comes from God, not from a convention. What sets you apart now is not your doctrine. This is what many believe. No, we don't believe that. We believe this. And that's the difference between us and them. You trust in your knowledge. The difference is God gave you something. The difference didn't come. It didn't come from a convention or some conference of men. This is not a set of doctrines that man has devised that sets us apart from others who have devised, in our estimation, less accurate sets of doctrines. This is an ability from God to discern truth. It's called in the Scripture the Spirit of Truth. It's called here an anointing from God. The thing that sets you apart and causes you to know things that others don't know. Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. They're foolishness to him, and they're spiritually discerned. But we, he's revealed them to us. He's revealed them to us. And we have the mind of Christ, and we discern all things. What's the difference? God bestowed upon you. Look at it. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. That's Christ particularly, but that's God. You have an unction from Him. This is an ability from God to discern truth. And it's an unction. Did you know that's the word that defines the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture? His very title, Christ, is the Anointed One. And I tell you this, it defines you too. What defines you is something that came from God. It's an unction, it's an anointing. Christ is the Anointed One, and we are His Anointed Ones. Christ has this anointing without measure, and we have it in some measure or other, according to the gift of His grace, as we saw in the book of Ephesians. We have it in some measure or other, and it's this that makes us different. It is an anointing from God. Let's talk about what that is for a little while. Look at Exodus chapter 30. I guarantee you, when Paul uses this word, he has reference to this Old Testament passage, among others. Exodus 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, and ointment compound, after the art of the apothecary, it shall be an holy anointing oil. Thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense. Why? Because Christ is the anointed one, and all of these things picture him. All of them, every one of them. And the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons. Here's Christ also, the high priest. And consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. That's just any man discriminately. And neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, these sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with you. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Nothing else like it. Whatsoever shalt thou make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. You remember Psalm 133? Let's turn over there. So this was special. It was prescribed by God. Psalm 133. It was applied to who he said to apply it to. Not everybody. Not everybody could have this. And there was nothing else like it. And listen to what David compares it to here in Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What do we have in common? What's our bond? Christ, His Word, His truth. If you depart from the truth, we have nothing, do we? We just don't. If I depart from the truth, what do we have? Light can't walk with darkness. Well, that's kind of like that precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. It's like that. It's that anointing. It's precious. It's a gift from God. It's prescribed by God. There's nothing else like it. And it only goes on who he says it goes on. That's what Paul is saying, or John is saying here in our text. If you're not Antichrist, it's because God has poured some of that oil on your head. The sweet-smelling savor of Christ. Only the brethren, only the saints of God are anointed with this oil. And it's because of that that you know what you do. That you rejoice in what you rejoice in. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19. Second Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. And you know, there are others preaching the false gospel. He warned them about them, and he called them by name in many cases. And here he said, what we preach, it wasn't yes and no, there wasn't any equivocation to it. There wasn't any compromise, it was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. He's talking about the gospel that we preach. All of God's promises are yea and amen in Christ, only in Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Verse 22, who also hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 21, I'm sorry. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. That's why we preach Christ unto you. That's why we know what we know. We know Him. That's why we know the gospel. That's why we're not like those that preach enticing words of man's wisdom. We're not of those who say yes and no. We preach Christ and everything that God promises, yes, in Him, because God has anointed us to do that. We could go to quite a few scripture in the New Testament about this anointing. And you know all things. You see that? 1 John 2. And you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. This anointing brings knowledge with it. And when we say now that knowledge only will puff a sinner up, just knowledge, that's what Paul said. Knowledge puffeth up, but love buildeth up. Knowledge with love. We're talking about just the knowledge of man, the knowledge that man can acquire without grace, at least without special grace. The knowledge, the kind of knowledge that does puff up, just knowing your doctrinal talking points, you know. You can just hear them rattling them off sometimes. But we're not contradicting the fact that it is by knowledge that God saves us. But God saves us by knowledge of a person. But wait a minute, Chris. It says all things. It doesn't say a person here. It says all things. Yes, but look how all things is expressed in the next verses. Look at verse 22. He said all things. What do you mean by that, John? Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He denies a person. He denies that he's who he said he is. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Because if you honor not the Son, you honor not the Father. Everything hinges on the Son. The Son hath revealed the Father. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son. You see that? You know all things. What things? Well, whatever's included in Him. Whatever has to do with Him. The gospel, Paul said in Romans 1, concerns Him. You deny the Son. If you're Antichrist, you deny a person. The same hath not the Father, verse 23, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You see, everything is contingent upon what think ye of Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let that therefore abide in you, verse 24, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in that, those doctrinal truth. No, in the Son. There's a difference now. I know many don't see it. I'm sorry if you don't see it. But there's a difference in knowing some facts and knowing Him. There's a difference. The things, all that which you've heard from the beginning, if you really heard it, you'll continue in the person. You'll be in Him and you'll stay in Him. You'll remain in Him. You'll abide in Him and He in you. You see that? It's the difference between the false and the true now. The difference between Christ and Antichrist is not a set of doctrines. It's a person. You shall continue in the Son and in the Father. It's simple, isn't it? It's so simple. Everything that is known, everything that can be known, every spiritual, desirable, wonderful, truthful thing that can be known is known by knowing Him. And you can know a lot of true things now without knowing Him. But you can't know Him without knowing all things that are good and true. One thing about verse 21. We kind of skip past that. I want to look at, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Remember, he said that already about talking about loving one another and about not sinning. He said, I'm not writing unto you to stop sinning because you don't know the truth, but because you do. If you didn't know God, I wouldn't say to you, stop sinning. I'd say, flee to Christ. But now that you have, honor Him, follow Him, love Him, obey Him. And He's saying here, now He's warning us, not because we don't know Him, but because we do. Because we know some things, we know some truth. We've at least given the appearance of believing on Him. If you know the truth, here's the lesson here now in this verse. If you know the truth, you know what you need? To hear the truth. He's saying, I'm telling you the truth because you know the truth. Not because you don't know it. Those who know Christ never graduate beyond Christ. Those who know Him need Him. All Him, only Him, always Him. Now let's look at verses 22 through 24 a little closer. We just read them, but let's look at them a little bit closer. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You see, it's the Son. You can talk about God all you want to. If you haven't bowed to His Son, you don't know God. You don't know the Father. You're not going to get to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't seen the Father, He said, unless you've seen Me. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you haven't seen Christ, you haven't seen God. And so, for a person that rests in doctrine, and I used to be one, and I know quite a few of them that I fear are doing this. And I know this is a danger because the Scripture warns us of this. But for those that trust in anything other than Christ, let me just put it that way. Those who are anti-Christ, other than Christ, against Christ, opposed to Christ, this just ain't going to be enough. Knowing Him. Have you ever heard somebody that is a deep doctrinal thinker try to explain a verse like this where the difference, you just continue in the Son. To them, there's just more to it than that, isn't there? There's just more to it than that. You've got to know this and this and this. Wait a minute. John seems to think all you need to know is Christ and just continue in Him, abide in Him, have that relationship with that person, and everything else falls into place. But this is just not enough. Just knowing that Jesus is the Christ, is that enough? To know that Jesus is the Christ and to continue in the Son? I've witnessed over and over that it's not enough to many. You know, you just have to take a stance, you know, on a position, some position or other. This position, that position. You have to be a superlapsarian. You have to be premillennial. You have to take a stand on the doctrine of eternal justification. I beg your pardon. I refuse to take a stand on any doctrine. Got no interest in that. And when I say doctrine, when people talk about doctrine, they're not talking about the Word of God. They're talking about the system that they've come up with. You know that, right? And so that's what I'm talking about. The man-made system that is really them saying, here's what God meant by what He said. I just want to know what God said. I don't want to know what you think He meant by what He said. Got no interest in that. got to take a stand, you know, on the doctrine of eternal justification. No, I don't. No, I got no use for that. Got to take a position on this doctrine, on that doctrine. Let me just repeat the words of John to you, because I love you. From verse 28, look at what he said. Little children, there's no relationship more precious in this world and more loving and more protective than a father for his children. And so that's how I address you. That's how John addressed these believers. That's how I address you, my little children. Now. Now. That's the key word, too. Now. Little children, now. Abide in Him. Is that too simplistic for you? That's not complicated enough for you? How do you stand on this or that? Abide in Him. That's where I want to stand. And that's what I want for you very dearly. That you stand in Him. Abide in Him. And oh, I can hear it now. I can hear it now. You can't abide in Him without taking these positions on these doctrines. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, you must. You must. Do you know why doctrine exists? And now, I'm not talking about the man-made system. However accurate now, however true in and of itself, however true. Now, though, when I say, do you know why doctrine exists? I'm talking about this book. And it's two different things. Now, when people say, well, I believe in the doctrine of justification. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about a section 10, article 3 in some man-made document. That's what they're talking about. That's what I believe. What do you believe about just, well, let me get the Westminster Confession out here. I'll show you what I believe. Abide in Him. But you know why true doctrine, real doctrine, good doctrine, Christ doctrine exists? To reveal Him. He doesn't exist to set you onto the right doctrines. The doctrines exist to set forth Him. It's a difference now that's life and death. Not talking about the Westminster Confession now or some so-and-so's body of divinity. I'm talking about this book. You know why this book exists? This doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. The Apostle John said, these are written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ. That you might believe that He is. And that believing you might have life through His name. It doesn't exist so you can dot all your I's and cross all your T's. It exists so that you might know Him and believe on Him. You see the difference? Abide in Him. My little children now. Abide in Him. My little children, I don't want you to know this book so that you might take positions on things, but that you might know Him. Doctrine, true doctrine, is a revelation of Him. That's what it is. It's not an end in itself. These are not written that you might take positions and call everybody a heretic that doesn't say, take the same position. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And if you want to know if somebody's a heretic or not, if you want to know whether somebody's an antichrist or not, you don't need to know what kind of lapsarian they are. Just listen to what they say about your Savior. You listen to what they say about Him. It'll take you about 3 minutes to figure out. Maybe less, whether they're antichrist or not. You don't need to know where they stand on this position or that position. Find out if they know Him or not, if they preach Him or not. And that won't take long. if the Jesus that they preach is this want to, got a wonderful plan for your life, trying his best, you know, Jesus, that's Antichrist. Because the Christ of the Bible is not him. If they preach the sovereign, almighty, victorious Savior of sinners, who the Father sent down here, Jesus is the Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Who's the Christ? God's anointed Savior. God's anointed Messiah. That he sent down here to accomplish his purpose. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you believe he is, and he did, then you abide in him. If not, you're Antichrist. Doesn't the very name pretty much tell it all? Anything other than him, anything opposed to him, is false and soul damning. God's anointed Christ, the Savior of his people from their sins, as revealed in this book, not as revealed in some systematic theology penned by men. Again, however true and however accurate, but as revealed in this book, if he's preaching this Christ, listen to him and abide in him. It's a lot simpler when God says it, doesn't it? The way God presents it, it's the simplicity that is in Christ. May God cause us to fall in love with him, to embrace him, to lay hold of him, and never let go. Let's pray.